Yeah, Kathy, I'm so grateful for ICMTA to bring us together this way, coming up with this idea, two teachers talking to each other about teaching, whatever that means.
Yes.
And yeah, of course, I just recently was asked, who are your mentors? Who you look up to? And you were one of like 1, 2, 3 people that I named. So it's for me, that's a real privilege and a wonderful opportunity. And thank you for taking this invitation, responding and being here. So I'm looking forward to this brief chat about teaching.
I'm delighted to talk to you. I love you. And, you know, we've both been in the teaching world for a long time. Let's see what kind of nuggets of gold we can mine. That might be a benefit to other people. Who knows? We don't know, right?
I like how you promote me all of a sudden. Like we've been in the world of teaching for a long time. My teaching, like conscious dance, or
yes,
the way I prefer to talk about it is dance meditation and conscious movement. My
yes.
tenure is only 11 years, I think, and something.
Really?
What about you, actually?
Dance meditation and conscious, say again what you said, dance meditation and conscious
movement.
Yeah,
well,
nice.
Of course, our association calls it conscious. Wow, what's the name of the, yeah, conscious movement. Yeah.
Conscious movement. I like that. Yep. Yeah. How long have I been in this field? Well, you know, I feel like I've been in this field since I was born. That's the God's honest truth. I think, you know, teaching is just one facet on the diamond. But my body has always wanted to dance. So I don't see personal desire and practice as different than teaching practice. I think we just kind of shift lanes on the highway in terms of what we're looking at and how we're looking at it and what we're sensing. So that's true for me. But if you want to talk about formal teaching, like where I teach other people, not just myself, I don't know, 40 years, something like that. I don't know dates.
I wanted everyone to know the difference between the two.
So yeah.
I think we're coming from quite a different perspective in a way, because every year brings something else. And of course, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like for me in 40 years and if I'm well and alive, or in 30, right? So I'm just a quarter of a way, of a distance of the path that you have traveled, being in those rooms and offering what you love to other people. That's a question I often get. So I can only imagine how often you get it. People ask, oh, how can you kind of reinvent yourself and always be so enthusiastic and full of ideas and fresh? So I'm really curious how someone who's been doing it for 40 years does it.
Well, I mean, don't you read? Do you read? Do you listen? Do you have relationships with other people? Do you listen to media in some form or another? Those all inform what I teach and what sparks my creativity. You know, we have a joke, actually, Andrea Juhan and myself. Whenever we read something, we're always saying, oh my gosh, I could use that for a class. You know, whether it's a quote or a, you know, a three-word concept or something of that nature. And that on vacation, one of the things we've committed to doing is reading a book for the purpose of reading the book, not for mining a class idea or a workshop idea, something like that. But, you know, my personal interests inform my teaching practice, because the personal is the political and the collective, and the collective is the personal for me. So whatever I'm engaged in, whether it's looking at social justice issues and how I've been blind to so many of them, or it's reading a fabulous book where, you know, there's this like one little sentence where you go, how the hell did they craft those words together? And that sparks me. And I love teaching. Teaching is my personal practice. There's not even a question. How do I translate these big, weighty issues that we all deal with as humans? And how do I offer them in a way that infuses and finances and allows the body to speak its own language, not just the verbal language that we're all used to speaking? So that's where I go. How about you? How do you stay engaged or excited?
I think it's the same, really, well, maybe I'll talk about it in different words, but somehow there is something similar that it becomes your or like a lens that magnifies things in life. So you go around, which is like another, it wakes me up quite often, you know.
Yes.
Although, like you were saying, I could use it for a class, but actually that's a wake-up call that there is something interesting going on here, or there is a question mark, or there is an opportunity, or there is a surprise. So our job, in a way, forces us to pay attention. So that's what I'm grateful for. And to be honest, I want to go back a little bit. You said that you were always moving and you were always like you were teaching yourself maybe through movement your whole life. So in terms of these two words, movement and teaching, it looks like maybe you came more from the movement perspective or movement world, whereas in my case, as long as I remember, I wanted to be a teacher. Then kind of life took me elsewhere, but anywhere I went, I would do training. So my boss used to joke, don't give any task to him. He'll turn it into a training program rather than profit making. Something like so. That's funny. You know, at some point in my life, the two met.
Yes.
But I was coming more from the teaching kind of urge rather than really being committed to movement all my life. So where I was going with that, I forgot completely, but somehow it was related to our original talk. But would you agree that you came from movement?
Oh, there's not even a question. I mean, I have taken every type of movement class. You say you take every kind of program and make it a training. I've taken everything from ballet for years to gymnastics to hip hop to Caribbean to African to modern to, that is what I was involved in for my whole life. Since I'm 4 years old, I've been taking dance classes out of desire, not out of pressure. And I worked with Gabrielle Roth, one of my major teachers, for 12 years, before I even thought in the direction of teaching the work myself. This was personal process. It was not for any goal beyond heal or heal thyself. I was in a different field completely. And it took me a while to say, okay, I'm going to take on this next stage of development for myself, because I do see teaching as a stage of development. I think it grows you in a certain way where your focus is outward, not inward. And how you hone the ability to see in a very different way when you're in the teaching position. So that was definitely my path. You look perplexed.
Yeah, I was just not perplexed, but something really resonated with me when you said that, because I also think that kind of this particular job as a teacher,
yes,
you learn so much yourself. So like you were saying, before I open my mouth and say something, I want to make sure that at least I have some idea, or I've done the work, and I at least I'm asking the right questions. Forget about the answers.
Right.
So that's really valuable, because I think, like, I recognize it in you, in myself, in many of my colleagues, that what we have in common really is that we are students, the mindset that we want to learn. So, and the best way to learn is to start teaching, because it's a forcing mechanism. You have to become clearer. You have to become articulate. You know, if I wasn't teaching, maybe for 20 years, I was going with kind of impressions and visions and ideas sort of visiting me and disappearing, but I need to deliver a class on Thursday night. So it all kind of takes shape.
Exactly. It does force a certain type of articulate inquiry. I totally agree with you. When someone in the teacher role, because that's all it is, that for me, it's just a role I am facile with at this point in my life. I play many. It's just one identity of many that make up the title of Kathy. But I love to find as few words as possible to explain something and then question it and see what comes from that inquiry. That is so exciting to me. You know, when you throw something out, it's like you throw a big rock in a pool and you watch the ripples and when they hit the shore. That to me I find it endlessly fascinating.
You know what's the main question I wanted to ask you?
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, when we were talking about you maybe possibly talking to our graduates and Freedom Dance future teachers,
yes,
if it worked out, if it didn't, but if it worked out, I would have asked you to talk about the meaning of this.
The meaning of teaching?
Of teaching.
Yes.
That's the question. It's kind of like you mentioned Gabrielle. You know, Gabrielle was a student she studied dance mostly, not like conscious, that kind of stuff, with Anna Halprin, who's still alive but doesn't teach. So, but for me, it's like Anna Halprin, Gabrielle Roth, then it's you in that lineage.
So you're right here.
Yes, I don't have five or six of you or four of you. Mm-hmm. So this is the question that I would like to ask someone like you. What's the meaning of all that, of this role, as you say?
Well, Boy, it's a beautiful question. It's a big question. What is the meaning? You know, you were saying earlier that you've always wanted to teach, that that's been a calling of yours. Some of us are built for that. You could look at the whole stream of life and see, I've always taught something, which is actually very true in my life. You know, I taught for Planned Parenthood. I taught doctors and nurses how to talk about sexuality with adolescents. You know, that's always been in my stream. But the meaning for me, I am looking at this actually, because somebody who was in a class of mine recently wrote to me and said that one of the things that was interesting to her, she made a compliment, but I know that it was more than a compliment. It was more, ooh, you teach very differently. It was, you know, in your warm-ups, you're slow. You're slow. You know, you don't, like, pump up the volume, right? And I was thinking, well, that's interesting reflection. Why is that? Because I think it's really true. And I was realizing more and more in my teaching, I don't want to dictate what I want to see. For years, I knew what I wanted to see and where I was going and how it might look. And there was great power in that for myself and for the people in my classroom. I have really started to switch my focus. I want to offer like something that entices in terms of my music or my words or my questions and inquiries. And then I want to see where that takes somebody. I want that bottom up teaching as opposed to that top down teaching. I'm much more interested in, if I ask you something, where will you take that? Because then I'm truly seeing a kaleidoscope of ideas and creativity and movement vocabulary. And if I'm constantly directing, even if it's a subtle directing, then I'm filtering what I'm going to see. And the more I could keep wiping the lens clean, does this make any sense? Yeah, I want to know when a question touches the shore of an individual through our embodied movement practice. I want to know what is authentically coming out of that inquiry as opposed to directing it. That's the meaning for me.
That makes perfect sense to me. I think of our role or kind of as a teacher, sometimes I break it up. Well, that's my mind works like this. You know, you're an instructor. So you are saying, okay, you can do this, you can move your feet, you can relax your jaw, those kinds of things. You can go faster, you can go slower. Then the next stage, you're an inspiration. Or maybe, you know, they intersect. So you tell stories, you offer inquiries, you dance yourself or whatever. Even with a new joint, you still dance, so that inspires.
That is inspirational, yes.
And then the third stage is really like what you were describing, is witnessing.
Yes.
You create a container, and then you're really letting things happen, and the best that you can do is just be present and allow it to happen. It was so beautifully described, actually. Keeping the lens clean, and that's tricky. I would say I enjoy instructing still.
I love instructing. I love it. And I, believe me, I've honed the skill, but I feel like there's a skill that's not as honed that I want to
Well,
lean more
I'm
into.
one of those who benefited from you teaching teachers and putting up those list of words to use and be really clear. You know, that's necessary when we greet someone in this world that may seem quite mysterious or crazy or like that you don't belong there. But when you break it down for people, what's actually happening? People are moving their feet. People are like not focusing on anything in particular, but inviting this soft gaze. You know, these little things, you can actually name them, and they explain what's happening. It's not a crazy crowd just kind of doing it for no reason. It's actually quite a deep and meaningful process that is going on. But it starts with those techniques, really.
No, you're absolutely right. It's a both end. It's not an either or. It's a both end. And I think that giving clear, simple instructions is an art. And I think it is one of the first phases of a teaching practice. It is an art and practice to be simple and clear. And once you got that down, what I have found is the fewer words, the better. Just, like you said, those verbs, slither and slide and rush and meander and all those words, everybody knows those words. We've all done that before. It's not foreign. It's not barefoot hippie dancing. It's no different than sitting meditation, which I know you've been involved with for a long period of time, right? Yes. So it looks like all you're doing is sitting down. But you're not just sitting down. You're actually engaged in an awareness practice and an attention practice. And it takes great discipline to pay attention. So, there's all kinds of techniques. I mean, that's the fun of it, isn't it? Is what tool do I need in this toolkit in order to break the code for that individual? How do I help them break the code?
Exactly, how to help. You know, it's still their work. It's still a lot happens spontaneously with no need really for any intervention. A lot of people are so open to it. But we do play this role of assisting or
Well, guide.
part of it, assisting, instructions, seeing, responding to what's happening. But I think it's even the basic, we often forget about the basic role. Someone needed to organize it. Someone needed to hire the venue. Someone needed to make sure that there are no drunk people or people on drugs. You know, all of these things, they matter. They're completely invisible. Someone needed to ask people to turn their phones off and not look at them. So, but without that hygiene, like the first step, the magic is, it's more difficult to get there.
It is. It is. And we've all had the magic bubble burst, right? Where somebody isn't taking care of their hygiene, right? They're Shazamming or they're texting or, they had you could smell alcohol or any of those things that, at their source are just ways to distract oneself from oneself. Because
And
what we do is scary.
exactly. It all ties it together, what you said, that it's an awareness practice. It's a practice of working with attention, And when we pay attention to what's happening here, it's not always easy. And
well, it's yes, it looks like fun. It's not always fun,
yeah.
Right? And one of my favorite quotes these days, I don't know if you've heard of Adrienne Marie Brown. She's a social justice facilitator, and she writes so beautifully. Her work is so amazing. And one of her pieces that she's written on practice, she says, we don't practice to feel good, we practice to feel. And I like
that's a wonderful,
right?
That's a really, again, Kathy, I just need to say I admire you. You found the shortest possible, it's like three words, but they
right.
mean so much when
right.
you are doing this and you know what it's about.
Well, you know, it's hard when you're the one that's in the front of the room and you're inviting people to feel things they wish they didn't have to feel, to remind them that this is not being done to them, it's being done for them. It's a hard transition sometimes to thread that needle. How is feeling my pain or my trauma, which there's a ton of these days out there, how is that for my benefit? That takes work. It does. And it takes steadiness on the part of the teacher to hold that belief system when somebody else falters.
Kathy, I think we will need to stop. And I
yep.
think it's a very nice, it's a beautiful place to take this pause. And I'm so, so glad that we had this little chat. And I hope, well, I will definitely watch the recording again. So thank
Beautiful.
You for sharing your wisdom.
I love you, Alex, and I'm just delighted that you asked me to do this. And you'll have to school me on what do I do next. Do I now invite somebody, and how do I do that? And, you know, what a great idea. I don't know who thought of this, but I love it. I think it's just a beautiful way for us as a group of people that do the same thing in different ways to talk among ourselves. I love this. So thank you. Thank you for honoring me and asking me.
Thank you.
Until the next time, yeah?
Yep.